Hello, hello, hello. This is Fiona talking. It's Fiona from Fiona for Health. And I'm sorry I'm not starting out with Zach's cool intro music. I can't find Zach right now. Hopefully he'll come and join me and we'll do our usual. I'm going to just kind of dawdle a little bit while perhaps people come and enter these chat room. So I have a small list. If Zach appears during the show, then I know he usually has a good handful of things that we can talk about. He usually has some cool clips of older clips of Tony and his show back, you know, from years ago. So hopefully we'll get that. But if not, I got a couple of things that I can talk to you about. Just give me a second here while I share the links. All right. So as usual, I mean, I'm not a big talker, so I hope that you guys can help me, you guys in the chat, you know, with questions and stuff. And I have been getting some emails about suggestions for us. By the way, I'm using a different headset, so if you can tell me in the chat if you can hear me okay. Is it loud enough? Is there background noise or anything like that? If it needs to be better, let me know and I will fix it. So you guys usually want to hear an update on Tony, and from what I've heard so far, same kind of thing. He's still recovering and getting his bearings wherever he's at. So, hello, you hear me? Okay, is it clear or is there crackling or noise or anything that could be reduced? Just let me know. All right. And you know what I have not figured out? Because Zach's been the podcast prodigy. He knows how to do this stuff. So I want to play a video, some audio for you guys. I'm going to have to play around with it. So pardon me if I'm a bit clumsy today. So let me talk first about, I've been interested in, there's a guy named James Roguski. I know I mentioned him on the last show, and I'm gonna play a clip from him. So he has a Substack. It's jamesroguski.substack.com. Actually, I'll just put it in the chat here. roguski.com, and he's letting people know about what the WEF is doing, and just kind of, you know, helping us to be aware of what's going on with the WEF. And if you have been following a little bit of that, they're having their meetings and stuff today, and you know, they're planning our future, which they really have no right to. So the WEF has, you've probably heard of something called the Pandemic Treaty. I learned that it's actually not a treaty. It's basically, I'm going to look at my notes that I took from one of James's videos. It's called a framework convention, and it's just a framework, basically. They want all the countries to agree that if something happens, like a worldwide pandemic again, then the WHO will have the power to tell the countries, okay, you've got to do this, this, and this. You know, okay, we declared a pandemic, therefore you must follow our orders. And that's the framework that they want everybody to agree to, all the countries to agree to. And one thing I got from James's speech was that agreeing to a framework for anything is like signing a blank check. It's basically a stupid move. And the good news here is that countries are not agreeing. Not everybody's agreeing. And so they're not going to meet their goal. They have another meeting coming up. I think it's January 27th. And so what I don't know the details about that meeting. Hang on. So they're going to discuss whether it's going to come through. And so far, it's not going to. And the WEF has even admitted that they're not going to make their goal. And if, let's just say that they were, if everybody was to agree this January, then by May, 4 months' time, they would then, you know, put it into place and start to implement it. So because it's not working out, they're 4 months, you know, 4 months from now, what they should be doing is closing it and saying, okay, these countries didn't agree, so it didn't work, it's closed. But instead of doing that, what James is, you know, helping us to be aware of and wants us all to kind of keep the heat on these people is that they will probably try to pull a fast one. You know, they're not going to just close it and give up. They're going to keep trying. And what we have to do is just let people know what they're doing and go to James's site. He's got some stuff that you can share with people. Because if we keep the heat on them, then, you know, it's kind of like saying, look, these guys are cheating. You know, we don't want to let them get away with it, even though they will try. So that kind of is it in a nutshell. Let me see what else I got from that. Yeah, there's a lot of history there. So let me just figure out how I can play some of this interview with him, because I've never done this before, so I'm going to just play around. Okay, 1 second. I'm switching headphones. I'm going to try to play the audio, okay? Okay, I don't know if that's working. Can you guys tell me what, can you hear me? That's not working either. Crap. Oh, scheiße. You can hear me. Okay, so there's something funny going on with my speakers. Nah. I told you I was going to be clumsy. Try again. Nope, that's not working. Okay, so that method didn't work. I'm going to try one more thing. Sorry, guys. Thanks, Tabitha. Okay. So this will be my So you can still hear me speak, right? Yes, okay. I think I figured out something, how I can do this now. So this video clip, if I can get it to work, is from, it's on Rumble, What's Up Canada? And come on, play. And it's an interview with James Roguski. Oh my goodness. No, that's not working. Where's Zach? I need Zach. He seems better at the techie stuff than I am. Hey, Giannis. Let's
Hey
see.
everyone.
Oh, you're speaking. Hang on. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Well, good. I've almost got this sound thing figured out, I think. But what's happening in your world?
Well, you know what's happening in my world, a little bit further away from where I am. With a
Yeah.
WEMF in Davos.
Oh, yeah,
How
your
everything is
buddies.
going.
Klaus and friends are nearby.
Yes, of course. You
Yeah.
see how privileged I am?
Have you ever been able to, take a look and, see if you can fit in, go and hang out
Over
with
there,
them?
no. Over there, it's the security that they have implemented. It's
Mm-hmm.
it's very high. You cannot approach so easily unless you are invited.
Right, I bet.
And even in WEF, I mean the headquarters, which is here in Geneva, it's quite the security's quite high.
I bet. Yeah. I'm not sure if, where is that in the city? Like, is it anywhere near where the UN building is?
No, it's from if you remember, it's finishing the lake and start the River Rhone. So if you are on the bridge of Mont Blanc on the left side, it's let's say the side of the airport. This
Okay.
is on the right side, somewhere parallel to the lake, a little bit further. So it's at the skirts of Geneva, from the
Right.
side, the right side of the lake, let's say, closer to borders with France.
Oh, okay. Okay. So since you're on here, Yanis, I'll come back. Well, maybe I'll see if I can play this before, so I don't leave everybody hanging first. Let me just see if I can actually get it first.
Yes, sir.
And then I'll ask you a question or two. Okay. I'm gonna, okay, you guys tell me if this is loud enough, okay?
Awesome. I will just dive right in.
Hang on.
Let me ask your audience a rhetorical question. What does January 27th, 2024 mean to you?
Can you hear that, or is it too low?
It's okay. It can be louder, but it was okay.
Okay. Sorry about that. I'm just going to play a couple of minutes with this. Okay.
Okay.
My wings. So all credit goes where it's due. Awesome. I will just dive right in. Let me ask your audience a rhetorical question. What does January 27th, 2024 mean to you? All right, let it sit there for just a moment. If I said 9/11, if I said January 6th, for the older crowd, if I said December 7th, the day that will live in infamy, January 27th is probably not going to be that big. But that's the deadline that the WHO is either going to obey their own rules or we're going to have as many people as possible watch them fail, because there's a rule in the WHO land that if they want to make changes to the existing international health regulations in May, when they get together for their yearly meeting, which starts on May 27th, they're obligated under Article 55 to submit whatever amendments they would have to be considered 4 months in advance. That's January 27th. Well, back in October, on the 2nd, at a meeting that they had, they publicly stated, it's all on video, I'm not making anything up, it's all documented evidence, they're not going to meet their deadline. Now, that's actually spectacular news, but it seems like alternative media has been vaccinated against giving people good news. It seems like it's all gloom and doom and, you know, death and destruction. And but this is a train wreck. You would think that they would, you know, promote a slow-moving train wreck. Anyways, we can get into all of the details, but, you know, have some fun with it. This is an icebreaker. This is a conversation starter. Do what I just did. Hey, everybody, you know, what is likely to not happen between now and January 27th? Well, they said in their meeting in October that, you know, they've got 196 nations with over 300 amendments to an 80-page document. So they're trying to pack a bunch of stuff into a small container, to put it nicely. And they're going to fail, according to them. And there's a couple of things that might happen. So I'm not counting any chickens before they're hatched. What might happen is a individual nation might say, oh, well, this is our opportunity. We'll submit amendments that we want. A group of nations might do that. Canada might do that. Okay, they want to bring in climate change and everything else, right? And so Canada did not submit any amendments in the originally accepted package of amendments back in September of 2022. They've contributed, you know, comments and suggestions along the way, but all of that has been done in secret. And so many people have put in requests to governments around the world and to the WHO, you know, let us see the latest version of what's being negotiated. And the answer is always, well, you know, it's delegate negotiations. We have to do it in private. We can't, you know, let it out.
We're too ignorant to have a relevant intellectual discussion with them, no matter who we are, unless we're on their payroll. But I think I kind of need to back this up just a wee little bit. We're talking about, just to set it up here, so people, you dove right into it, which is great. You hit it up, a home run right out of the chute, which was something that I couldn't even put together on the fly here. And thank you for that. I'm hoping somebody clips that out of here, because that actually answers one of the questions that I've been asking people lately, is what do we do? You know, why are people not getting involved? And this is one of the reasons. They don't get to hear these kinds of good news, because even I didn't, you know, I just can't keep up in the overwhelming onslaught. And this is why we depend on guys like you, because you're...
Okay, so that's kind of the snapshot of what they're up to. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit and talk a bit more, or let James talk a little bit more.
Okay.
One sec here. Tabitha says, they need to close shop. Yep, they sure do.
The things that you know are going to make you want to do that. And you have to suspend reason and come at it from a different perspective. Believe that you know are going to get in the way, because you're going to try to apply some form of logic and reason and sensibility. And the things that you know are going to make you want to do that. And you have to suspend reason and come at it from a different perspective, and I'll try to explain. If you go to 2020, when everybody was, not everybody, but many people were afraid of this new horrible COVID-19, the promise at the end of the year was, oh, we've got this wonderful technology, so fantastic. If we just get, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 jabs in everybody in the world, eventually maybe it'll stop something. Okay. Don't worry that it doesn't stop infection or transmission or makes your immune system be worse off and causes all these other side effects. Just get with the program. You need to jab everybody. And so when that rolled out in 2021, the way it was supposed to roll out, but that was presented, was, well, you know, nurses and doctors, frontline people dealing with the, you know, patients, they were the most vulnerable, so they should get the shots first. Elderly people, and then, you know, comorbidities, and down the line, you know, maybe by age or whatever. Well, that's not what happened. What happened is the wealthier nations bought up 10 times what they needed. I'm pretty sure, if I recall correctly, Canada ordered like 400 million jabs.
Yeah.
And I think you've got like 40 million people. So that's like 10 per person. And so, you know, couple that with the United States buying up all the remdesivir, the United Kingdom, the European Union, Israel, you know, being a guinea pig for Pfizer. This smaller, relatively poor nations, you have to suspend what you know, thinking that these life-saving, high-tech, you know, products were being hogged up by all the wealthy nations, felt that they were being treated inequitably. So they called for a second session of the World Health Assembly, and the upshot of it, the declaration that came out of that, was they wanted the WHO to oversee negotiations, whether it be amendments or a new treaty or both, to ensure equitable access to pandemic-related products. Now, it's hard to not be aware that they should be thanking their lucky stars that they didn't have the resources to get the contracts to jab up all their people. And roughly 75% of the developed world got jabbed, and maybe 25% of the undeveloped world, if you want to break it up that way. If you go on WHO's website with all their data about COVID, 16 times per capita as many people in North and South America, their deaths over the past 4 years were attributed to COVID when compared to Africa. So a reasonable person would say, hey, don't you think the WHO should be looking into their own data and saying, what did you all do in Africa, or what did you not do compared to what was done in Europe and North America and South America and so forth? No, that's not what's going on at all. The delegates from the relatively poor nations are not seemingly able to comprehend that they were lucky. They want more drugs and more jabs. The original idea, maybe at the end of 2021, you could forgive them still believing that the jabs had some kind of benefit. But 2 years into it, you have to wonder what kind of strange ailment they have that they're still arguing to get the intellectual knowledge, you know, the intellectual property and the manufacturing know-how and all of the investment to build out laboratories and testing and manufacturing plants. And so when they submitted amendments, and this is where I think a lot of people didn't get the memo, right? Bangladesh and the African group, that region in the WHO, both submitted amendments that were really similar to change Article 13A. And their solution to this trade dispute was pure on totalitarian, dictatorial, Marxist, communist, control the means of production. And I'll explain what the details were. They know that the Director General can pretty much, just because he wants to, declare a public health emergency of international concern, or a FAIC, P-H-E-I-C. After doing that, they want or in their proposals, they would give him the authority to determine which products are needed. Then he would be able to set up an allocation mechanism, and they would have him have the authority to tell probably a developed nation with a pharmaceutical manufacturing base that they have to make whatever he decided was needed and give it to whomever needs it. Now, in a perfect world, when your neighbor knocks on your door and they say, hey, can I borrow your something, you know, cup of flour, your power tool, your lawnmower, you know, whatever, right? Yeah, sure. Okay. But if a third party in your neighborhood knocked on your door and said, you know, Bob, a couple of blocks over, needs to borrow your grass cutter, you got to give it to him. Who are you? Right? If Bob came over and asked me and we got to know each other, I'd probably give it to him. But they want to set up Tedros as the command center, you know, the dictator in charge, to distribute products.
Benevolent dictator that the Club of Rome is, manifesting.
Now, you know, the problem that I think they're having is, who's going to volunteer to pay for that? Right? And so what this really is not what people think it is. This is a trade dispute where the relatively poor nations feel rightfully that they didn't get access. They're lucky, but
dodged a bullet there. That's right.
Literally, they still are arguing for more drugs and jabs. They want to be able to make their own. They want the investment to build the laboratories, to do the gain of function research. John Campbell had a article or a video today.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. So one of the last things he said there, as you heard, is it comes down to one element of this is that it's a trade dispute. You know? So that's kind of what's going on over there. And I'll give you the link to that. I'm going to put it in the chat right now. But go and listen to the whole video, the whole interview. It's really interesting. He's got a couple of sites as well where, depending on what country you're from, you can look at like letters and stuff that you can send letters. But I actually called James because he was on a talk. He was talking to people, on a call from Canada, a few nights ago, and he was basically kind of saying the same thing in this video. He mentioned that there's a petition, and that this one's called the CanadianPetition.com, and it's a petition that, you know, goes straight to Parliament and tells them, hey, we shouldn't be involved in the UN and the WEF and blah, blah, blah. So you can read it for yourself. And I asked him, as some people were asking on this call the other night, like, how is a petition going to help? I mean, you guys have probably signed petitions in the past, right? And I have too. And I think I may have even signed this one a while back when it first came out. And so I asked him, like, okay, so you mentioned this petition, but how is this going to be different from anything else? And he said, you got to look at it as a tool. The powers that be, or not to be, as Dan Dix would say, they're still going to try to pull this stuff on us, no matter what we do. The petitions, the protests, and all that stuff, they're still going to try to do these things. But the way he said we should use this sort of thing, this petition, is to see who your friends are, who your allies are, and make a list. So you may want to send out an email with this CanadianPetition.com, and ask people, or, you know, on social media or even in conversation, just say, hey, can you tell me your opinion about this? Like, I'd like to know what you think. Are you for it? Are you against it? Are you on the fence? I'm just curious. And if they say something like, oh, that's all misinformation, conspiracy theory, you know, I love the UN and I want to stay, and we should definitely put our trust in them, then you know okay, well, maybe this person is, you know, maybe on my naughty list, or, you know, is not an ally. So, but if they say, oh yeah, I just, you know, I signed the petition, or I think we should get out of the UN, kick the WEF to the curb, kick the WHO to the curb, then you know they're on your nice list. So, and actually make a list. So it's not necessarily that this petition is going to make a difference, but it can be used to see who you know is on board with them or not. So that's what I gleaned from my conversation with James.
Yeah, of Yes? course. If I can add on this another, let's say, another view. Okay, yes, you can find out who are your friends.
Yeah.
There is always, of course, the risk that this list can be used against all the people, all the persons that they have signed. So it depends, let's say, where it's finishing, and of course going to finish in some office governmental, because of whether you apply and you say to your local authorities, I don't agree, so take actions or whatever, that we are not agree with this, or we propose this and this. And this can be used as well then as against all the people that they have signed this petition, whatever it is, the topic.
Yeah.
So as well, we have always to, we should not stay silent, because then of course they're going to do whatever they want, because there's no resistance. But we have to be as well careful what we sign and how we are handling the whole, I would say in brackets, opposition, or actually straight opposition, because opposition to these evil plans of WHO and all the forces that are behind them. If I can add as well regarding the deadline that he was talking in the beginning, the January 2017, yes, they have now the deadline, and then the latest that they have to submit or to approve these changes is, as you said, May 17. And then I was listening a clip from the Davos, where the Director General of the WHO, he was saying that actually they were lobbying a lot this change and this international, let's say, new health regulation, not to give them authority to regulate in case of the new pandemic that is coming, 100% sure. And then he made the comment that if we're going to miss this opportunity, it's for this generation. After that, it's gone. It's the next generation. So probably if they will miss this deadline, they cannot implement it. And I don't know the details of how it has been structured, but he mentioned that then it's going to the next generation. That's why they are pushing a lot, especially in the Davos, a lot this agenda.
Yeah. Just backing up to that, you know, using the petition as a tool, you could use a totally different thing as the same kind of tool. Like one of his other sites he's got here, you know, basically just anything, like take a look at this and tell me what you think. So, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Okay. Excuse me. Sorry. Okay. Anything else about that, Yanis, that you can think of to add?
I missed the beginning of the show, so I'm not 100% sure for the topic or the main theme, let's say, of the topic. But regarding it's related to this, the agenda is nothing to do with managing the resources or to have a coordination and against the common enemy, as they said as well, a common enemy, which is a virus, let's say. But if you will see from the whole pre-COVID history and the planning, and the plan is they want to push 100% the vaccinations. Their objective is the vaccination, not other treatments. That was, let's say, in the what was the event 101, how was called this one, that they had the training, let's say. They plan the response in a case of a respiratory disease. The idea was to use the media in order to promote the vaccine. The objective is clearly the vaccine, which they have prepared before, which is done before. They have the patents since 2005 and 2007. So yeah, the agenda is nothing to do with protecting the population from the next pandemic. Just to be aware about that. The agenda is how we're going to vaccinate as many as possible and break the resistance of those that they are not vaccinated, etc. Yeah. So the objective is the vaccination and then the control and all the other. And of course, the total control of health-related decisions from a central location, the WHO, the central authority, the WHO. Mm-hmm. Part of the new world order, one in one location, everything.
Yeah. And you said the words, the next pandemic. I don't have a lot of stuff to, present to you guys, but I just want to hear what you guys think. What do you think about all this chitter chatter about disease X? What are your guys' thoughts? What's your thought, Yanni?
Well, it's a very interesting because they are talking about already they are working on the vaccine of the disease X, and how the heck are you going to work on a vaccine when it's unknown? Before you know what it is. So only this, if someone will just stop and think, it's going to make him realize that already they know and has been a plan. Okay, you cannot work on a vaccine or something that you don't know unless you know
it. Right.
But I just want, to comment that they have conditioned the people since, the 50s, the 70s, when they were making, in the schools training, in case that we have a nuclear attack, I'm talking now about the US and Canada, nuclear attack from Russia, then they were teaching the kids just to go under their desk and be protected from the radiation. I mean, this is... You are not protected by that. Maybe in an earthquake, if it's something light, will fall on top of you. Otherwise, no. They will just going to find you under a small piece of wood and the metal place that they had under the desk to put your books, and then four legs to keep the desk on top. And then you find the body, in case that there was a radiation, in case that there was a nuclear attack, they're going to find a body of the kid under this, position. But they were training the people, the young generation, just to obey the authorities without thinking if it makes any sense or not. And in this case, they are talking about the disease X or the microbe X, and they are preparing the vaccine for that. How the heck you can prepare something that you don't know? It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
The people they have learned just to obey without thinking if it's making sense and if it's logical.
They even gave a days. They said for this, if a new virus, disease X comes about, it would take them 100 days to develop a vaccine. I mean, we go from, taking 5 to 10 years to create a vaccine to warp speed, whatever that was. What was that for the COVID thing? Supposedly a few months, now to 100 days. I guess that's like 3.5 months.
Yeah, and again, they play with the words. They play with the words because even, they are so lucky, they are so good scientists, they will develop a vaccine in 100 days. Good, you develop it. How do you test the safety and the efficiency?
Mm-hmm. Well, but I mean, even now.
They want to put it after 100 days. Okay, take it.
Yeah.
Life clinical trials directly on the population. Who will accept it? This is a funny thing. They will accept it.
They will, yeah. Well, I mean, they took the COVID jab.
Yeah, exactly.
And just looking at the bottom of this one article, I think we touched on it last time on the last show. It says the agency, which is UKHSA, UK Health Services Authority, maybe. The agency is part of a global effort to develop a vaccine within 100 days of a new pathogen being recognized as having pandemic potential. Yes. Historically, that would be unheard of, said Professor Harries. It would normally take 5 or 10 years. For COVID, it was around 360 days. Bullshit. So this is a really high ambition, but for some viruses, it's definitely possible. Right.
Yeah, if they have plague with them in the labs and they have tested already on the animals, yeah, maybe it's possible.
Yeah.
Still, no clinical trials on humans. I mean, simply, okay, the agenda is not to protect the population. This is clear.
Yeah.
Anyone who can see a little bit can see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the objective is nothing to do with the health of the population or the saving of the planet or whatever. It's simply they want to put these injections in the people and with whatever it is inside them, inside these injections, I mean, for total control and all the other things that we know that they want to implement.
Yeah. And I want to mention, you know, one of our solutions to this, not the vaccine, the jabs, but, you know, the pollutants and the nanotech that we're constantly exposed to. FM8 put a video out, I guess it was yesterday, maybe, called Casting Off the Net. And he shows you how you can use the spike as a tool for electroporation. And he's spraying on some CDS, I think that's chlorine dioxide, is it? CDS. Onto his skin. You could put anything. You could put iodine or any kind of like maybe an essential oil on the skin and then use the spike over on the skin to kind of push the medicinal substance into the skin.
Take it inside. Yes, we'll take it inside.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. Just looking at the comment here, I am not an expert, but what I understand is vaccines were legalized during war, so they don't have to be tested, is my understanding. I don't know about that. Do you, Yanni?
I have heard something like that. I have not heard it, but yes, it makes sense what Lupatilu is mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me something, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. It's true. I mean, there are, and we are in a war. We are in a war against mankind.
Right.
So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, they change all kinds of rules during war, right?
Yeah, exactly.
For the bigger agenda. Okay, so I have a sort of just like a, I don't know, intermediate interlude sort of video or audio for you guys just as sort of a to break this up. I'm going to show you or tell you a little bit about some remedies or a remedy. Some of you have written to me asking me to or asking us to mention some of Tony's remedies, and I didn't really look up any today, but I have something else for you. But first, if you guys were on the show a few weeks back, I had my friend on. His name's John Julian. He's a musician and a comedian, and he does Justin Trudeau impersonations. And so anyway, he was at an event and was interviewed by Laura Lynn Tyler in character as Trudeau. So I'm going to play you that.
Okay.
Laura Lynn is a... she's an alternative media lady in Canada as well. She's, here it is.
Well, everyone, I'm very excited. I'm here with Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, at the Christine Anderson event that is taking place tonight, Coquitlam area. And now I am surprised that you have decided to come to support Christine Anderson, because she hasn't been your most biggest fan.
This is true, but I had to come to Coquitlam earlier for a Mi'kmaq Muckaluck meeting with the elders of the region, and I heard that Christine was in the area, and I wasn't just going to let her try to steal the show by herself.
Right. And I understand that Christine is actually so generous, as she is going to, you know, first she's going to slam you, and then she's going to give you opportunity for a rebuttal this evening.
She can try, but Canadians need to step up and work together from province to province, coast to coast, and do the right thing. And, you know, not be the right-wing conspiracy theorists that, for example, you have been, Laurel.
Yeah, some people see it that way, except everything that we've talked about has come true and everything you say doesn't work out.
It's simply a matter of disinformation and misinformation, which you probably know about.
And it's been very hard to figure out, you know, where all that's coming from. Mr. Prime Minister, do you think that moving forward, since the polls for you getting reelected are so low, and Sophie's, you know, kicked off and she's repartnered, I'm just wondering, what's in the future for you? Because I'm not certain politics is going to be there for you.
Well, I'm joining now with Team Barbie soon, and we've got an exciting adventure. I told her the other day that I was mostly a good husband, but what can you do? You know, she took one look at my ding-dong when I first met her, and she said, this is unacceptable.
Right. And I don't even right now know what that means, but probably others do, right? So when you consider all the people in the world, all the things that are going on, and that a lot, like big world leaders and that are not exactly getting a hold of you right now to get your opinion or to get you to weigh in on things, not taking your calls and whatnot, you nor Biden, how does it make you feel inside?
I'm confident that if we work together, we can rise up against these uncertain times. And I understand, I get it, if Canadians are trying to pay their mortgages and pay for their gas bill or their groceries, that they don't notice that things are even worse elsewhere in the world. I mean, look what I've done. I've built Canada better than it's ever been. We're the third largest AAA rated economy, lowest deficit, as you well know.
Well, trillions of dollars in debt, actually. And then you've been promoting all of this gender nonsense, which has really confused children underneath your leadership. You brought in something that millions and millions of Canadians, the Sikhs are super mad at you, by the way, in Abbotsford. And the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, all rising up, actually unifying in order to, you remember the 1 million march, you know, it was really a way to say, Trudeau, stop telling little boys they can be a girl. I mean, can we change that? Or?
Well, I have a trick up my sleeve. All I have to do is put on a little Muslim outfit and then they'll like me again because it worked in the past.
So. Yes. Okay. So, well, do you know what? We do appreciate your leadership. Is there anything you want Canada to know moving forward that might possibly change their mind about how they're feeling about you, which is not good right now?
Well, yes. Just remember that children are often born in the wrong body. And so just listen to your teacher and go for the proper puberty blockers.
You know, I just wish you the very best in the future, and I hope that there will be a way for you to somehow salvage any reputation that you could possibly have, and that you'll do something right by the people of Canada eventually, maybe in your later years.
We will get through these uncertain times, and I have a request for you. I think instead of that river background behind your podcast, you should probably have like a pride flag or something in there.
Yeah, that will never happen. Yes, I appreciate the advice, though. I think that we should support veterans. Should we have veteran crosswalks?
No, they don't really matter. I'm getting the maid ready for them. So.
Yes, maid. Yes, we shouldn't be assisting people to die. Thank you, Mr. Prime Minister. Have a wonderful evening. We look forward to your remarks here at the Christine Anderson event. Thank you for daring to show your face here, which I'm... Do you have guards? Do you have security tonight?
I have 19 security guards with me tonight.
Okay. You'll probably be needed. Okay. All right.
Merci beaucoup.
All right. Okay, everyone. This is going to be Prime Minister at the Christine Anderson event.
So that's Laura Lynn and John Julian in character.
That was interesting.
Yeah. So on the gender topic, there's something interesting that happened recently, January 10th. I'll read from this article. Police arrest an LGBT pride leader. December 31st for alleged sex crimes against children, prosecutors informed CBS News on Monday. Former North Peace Pride Society president Sean Gravels of British Columbia faces charges of sexual interference of a person under 16, physical contact with a person under 16 for sexual purposes, and possessing as well as importing or distributing child pornographic materials, the spokesperson said. He's been removed from his position with NPPS since his arrest for the alleged offenses. Former Pride president allegedly committed interference and exploitation crimes on December 29th and child pornography on December 31st in Fort St. John, BC. So, I mean, that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Wow.
The leader of Pride.
Yeah.
You know, Pride Society. I'm not saying that, I mean, obviously he doesn't represent everybody, but it kind of, you know, goes along with what everybody has been shouting about, you know, like the whole gender identity thing in schools and like the teaching of like sexual practices in books.
It is, you know, crazy. For me, it is, beside the fact that, of course, due to the modification of the food and all the hormone destruct, let's say, the estrogens, etc., that they have fed the population, and many of the young people, we see more and more, let's say, having problems with their, not sexuality, but with their sex. And as Tony said, you see boys that are giggling and girls that they are more macho, etc. It has, of course, changed their hormones. And then they create this atmosphere and this environment to where they're promoting the gender, changes of the gender.
Yeah.
And many of the people that they feel that they need or they are in the wrong body, etc., they are simply victims.
Mm-hmm.
And as
totally.
You said, yeah, and but the leaders of these movements, it's a little bit more than that. And yes, this guy, they arrest him, and I don't think that he's the only one who has a kind of position or authority, and he's completely twisted. And many others, that of course, they're abusing the opportunity. More and more cases are coming out that some men in a women or women, but they're actually there are men in either in the prisons or in female. They change clothes on the sports, there are incidents that they are not that nice. So
right.
Those that they have some positions, I think, yes, they have, not all of them are innocent. And mm-hmm. many of the people, the young ones, they are simply, they are victims.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because I think that, like, as you said, the, you know, with the change in the hormones, I do believe that some people actually do feel that they were born in the wrong body because there's something, some, you know, mismatch going on in their chemistry. And so that combined with, you know, teaching about, you know, the, whatever the number is now, hundreds of genders, really can make people confused. Totally.
I have a daughter of a colleague of mine and friend. She was a beautiful young lady. Mm-hmm. And 18 or 19, when she turned 18 and 19, she decided to make sex gender. And she quit from the medical school because she was in the medical school. She was going for psychology or psychologist, yes. But she quit. She could not afford. She cannot stand it anymore. And now, of course, he has done the operation, and of course, he's under medication totally, continuously, and big depression.
Mm.
Big depression after the change of the sex. Still, she does not. From what I understood from her father or his father, her father for me, she has not. Regret it, meaning still believe that he's a man, and she has turned physically in a fat boy with hair on the face, but still a little bit feminine face. I mean, it's something completely unnatural for me, and I feel very pity because I knew her. I mean, since she was a kid.
Yeah.
And it's so sad to see what's happening, and definitely she's not happy. She's completely unhappy.
And a lot of those young people are detransitioning or trying to detransition. Not all of them, obviously. What's that one trans woman's name? Blair White. Blair White is quite popular online, especially on YouTube. And a transgender woman, you know, man became a woman at, I think, around age 20. And she interviewed, another trans woman who was trying to detransition back to being male. And the story that this guy had was pretty amazing, and sad, because he realized too late, you know, after surgeries and hormones and stuff like that, that he actually couldn't really go back. Yeah. Like, his body is it's irreparable. Like, he'll never be the same again.
Exactly. This is the sad thing. Yeah. Especially if they will do the operation. If it was only the hormones, I think it is reversible. But when they do the operation, it's that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And at that age, they don't have, they don't know. But there are currents, and all of that is under its agenda. It's okay. It's agenda for depopulation, of course. It's agenda for destruction, for other things that they are doing, like this health treaty that WHO tries to sign. And they have. It's not by chance. It's not chance that we have all this suddenly. You know, transgender, some aliens, some all these distractions to take the attention of the people. To all these things and worry, of course, and put fear or confusion, while at the back they are working with their agenda.
Yeah.
Which they are telling us, but they are not. We don't pay attention. We don't recognize it.
Yeah. Hey, Yanni, I've got a question for you, and I think that you and Zach may have talked about this a couple of weeks ago here on the pod. And you have explained this to me before, but I want to ask you again, because I still haven't dug really deeply, and people often ask me how, excuse me, what's the difference between, so it's a totally different topic here, sorry, I'm just changing the subject, what's the difference between our EMP devices, the triangle and bucket, and PEMF, pulsed electromagnetic field? Now, I think that from one of our discussions in the chat, somebody said that the PEMF may scatter heavy metals and graphene, but it doesn't remove it, and it can possibly reassemble. Does that sound correct? Like,
no.
The PEMF.
PEMF, it means pulsating electromagnetic field.
Right.
And the EMP, electromagnetic pulses, it's exactly the same thing.
Okay. So could the PEMF, is it as strong as the triangle or bucket usually?
Our triangle is PEMF. It's pulsating electromagnetic field.
So it's the same thing.
EMF, it has two abbreviations, or two things that abbreviate exactly the same as EMF. One is electromagnetic frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's electromagnetic fields. Both they are the same frequency. It's the electromagnetic frequency. It's an electromagnetic field which alternate in the frequency.
Okay. Now,
the pulse, the P, it means it's a pulsating electromagnetic field. And if I have it, let's say the flashers. Usually they have a frequency of 1.2, 1.3 hertz, because they are flashing usually around 80 pulses per minute. So if we make the conversion, 80 pulses per minute is approximately 1.2, 1.3 hertz.
Okay.
So even the flasher, it's creating a pulsating electromagnetic field or pulsating electromagnetic frequency at the rate, the frequency of 1.2 hertz. So it's exactly the same thing.
Okay. Now,
frequencies or the magnetic fields, the signals, they have different shapes. One shape is it's a sinus shape, like the what we have the electricity at home. You know, it's a sinus wave. It's going up, smoothly going down, going minus, going up again, and then this is called sinus wave.
Right.
We have the pulses. The pulsate. It's called it's a square wave, and it's on off, on off, on off. This is a pulse.
Okay. So sorry, just the very beginning. You said there's different shapes and pulses between. What? I missed that part.
The electromagnetic field, for example, it can be sinus wave. So it okay. has a shape of a sinus, meaning, let's say,
yeah,
it's alternating on and off. No, it's alternating positive, negative, and
yeah.
from zero. And then if we extract it on time, it's like a sinus wave, you know, hills, valleys, yeah. hills, valleys. While the pulse, it's just on, off, on, off. For a while it's on, let's say one, then it's zero. One, zero. And because the flasher, our triangle, it's connected with a flasher, okay? So the flasher basically is an automatic switch. When it's connected, when the contacts are, it's closed, let's say, then current is passing, and when current is passing, it's creating a magnetic field. So we have on. So when the flasher is opening, there is no contact, then it's zero. No current is passing, so we have no magnetic field. Our triangle is working with pulsating electromagnetic fields. Electromagnetic because the electricity is creating the magnetic field as the current is passing. And you have on, off, on, off. When the contact is closed, current is passing through the triangle, we have magnetic field. When it's open, it stops and we have no magnetic field. So it's right. exactly the same. What it makes the difference on all these fields and frequencies, electromagnetic fields actually, it's the frequency, how many on-offs we have,
okay.
and of course the shape of the wave, how it works. Is it continuously going up, down? Is it going like a triangle, whatever? There are different shapes.
Okay.
Sinus and triangle shape, it can cause problems and can activate nanos.
Say that again.
The sinus wave and the triangle mm-hmm. wave. But the one that we are using, the pulses on off, or the square wave, it's just, you know, up, down, up, down.
Yeah.
This is what is disengaged the program.
Okay. So, sorry, if it's only the sine wave,
The sine wave, it can cause problems, like the sine waves that we have, okay. the electricity alternative, the alternative current that we have at home. This is not good.
And do those, you know, the PEMF, the PEMF devices out there, do you know what they do?
Okay.
I mean, so they're all different though.
Yes. So many of them, they are creating the correct pulse, which is the square. Okay. Like, mm-hmm. like what we have, the triangle. The problem they have, these devices, are two. One, it's the frequency that they are using. Most probably they are using high frequency. And this can cause problems, can activate nanos. It depends, let's say, the frequency. Okay. And the other thing, even if they are using low frequency, let's say from 1 to 30 hertz, like we are using my device, for example, between, I have controlled them 1 to 27. This is fine, but the weakness of the PEMF devices that are out there is that the signal, the magnetic field, it's very weak. So it can be good enough, let's say, if we are sleeping on a mattress of PEMF for ourselves and relax us, but against mm-hmm. nano, it's not efficient.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. So for the nano, really, we need, let's say, our device. I mean, the nano bucket and triangle, the way that Tony had, let's say, introduced it, and then we have improved it. Because it's the strength of the magnetic field that can make the difference.
Right. Okay. the strength of the magnetic field.
That's why the mattresses, PEMF mattresses, for example, there are, okay, and they are helping a little bit, you're feeling well, because it's relaxing really the muscles and the cells, but it can relax the muscles and the cells, those that are using the square wave. But against nano, they are not efficient.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, that helps a lot, because a lot of people have asked me, well, can I just use my PEMF mat? And I'm like, no, I don't think it's quite the same.
For the nano, it's not, I mean, it will be useless against the nano. They can use it for other things, but for the nano, it's it's going to be their waste of time. They will think that they will doing something, and they will see no improvements, and then they will accuse the PEMF is not working.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay, cool. Well, I've got one more thing to share. And it's a blood purifier. You guys were asking about remedies. And this one, I started to use this because I was having some issues with, I think, the spleen area. And it's burdock root. Have you guys ever tried that?
Beetroot?
No, not beetroot. That's good, too. That's good for cleansing the blood as well. But burdock, B-U-R... D-O-C-K. Burdock root. Yeah, burdock root. It's good for blood, lymph, and the skin, and helps with diabetes and cancer. So I'm going to read a little bit of this article here. It's been valued across continents for thousands of years for its ability to purify blood and cool internal heat. Internally and externally, it's a potent anti-inflammatory and antibacterial effects on the body. Recent studies show that burdock contains phenolic acids, quercetin, luteolin, which are all powerful health-promoting antioxidants. So it's similar to dandelion tea. And you can get it as a supplement, or you can eat it as a vegetable. I just buy it as a dried root, and I make a tea out of it. It's really powerful, though. Like, I made a strong tea about a week ago, and the next day I was, like, total die-off reaction. I had a migraine, and I was, like, on the toilet and all kinds of stuff. So you have to really be careful. Pardon me?
It started detoxing you quickly.
It did, yeah, the very next day. So I had to cut the amount in half. I don't even remember what I put in. I just put like a big handful in the water and I drank it all. And the next day I had half the amount, and it's still, I had a minor version of the first reaction. And so then after that, I gave myself a few days to recover. And so now I've probably put in one cup of water, I boil up maybe a teaspoon of the root and a couple of bay leaves, and that seems to work much better. So I'll just go through a couple of the things that this website lists for the amazing burdock root benefits. So blood purifier. It's described as a blood purifier or alterative. Alterative. And was believed to clear the bloodstream of toxins. It has active ingredients that can be found to detoxify heavy metals from the blood, improving organ health and the health of the whole body. It promotes blood circulation and skin surface. Lymphatic system strengthener. Essentially, the lymphatic system is the body's inner drainage system, a network of blood vessels and lymph nodes that carry fluids from the tissues around the body into the blood and vice versa. If you can make your lymphatic system stronger, then you can help your body ward off all kinds of disease and serious health issues. It's a natural diuretic, so it can help stimulate the kidneys. Skip some of that. Skin healer, so you can use it topically. scientific studies have even shown that burdock extract can improve the clinical signs of aging. Okay, and then helps with diabetes. It contains inulin, a soluble and prebiotic fiber that helps improve digestion and lower blood sugar, making it an excellent choice for people trying to naturally manage their blood sugar. In Europe, the fresh root is used for lowering blood sugar, its inulin content making it particularly suitable for diabetes. Combats cancer. I won't read everything there. You guys can read it later. Improves arthritis. It's an anti-inflammatory, so it can help with arthritis. Helps to treat enlarged spleen. The spleen is a vital guardian organ that we rely on to keep the body free from infections, viruses, and all kinds of dangerous pathogens. An enlarged spleen is a clear warning sign that the immune system is fighting hard to remove threats from the body, but failing to do so because it can't keep up with high demand. So this root can help clean out the spleen and help purify the blood. Helps tonsillitis, and I think that's about it. So, and it tastes pretty good too, actually.
Very good. I have never tried it. So, that's interesting. Yeah, Vicky, it's posted here, but it's going to be as well on the notes of the show.
Yeah. And also, like, one more thing I'll mention to everybody. Part of the detoxing all the time is, you know, Tony has talked about taking STS or EDTA. And one thing that I often do, and I encourage people to do, is to do your own enema as well. You can do just regular saline water, but there's other things you can use in the enema too. And if you've never done it, then go to WikiHow and type in how to do an enema. And if you're still thinking like, ooh, that's gross, I can't put anything in my butt, you know, once you get desperate, you will do it. And the benefits of it are really good. And you don't have to, it's cheaper. You know, you could go for a colonic to a practitioner, and that's pretty amazing as well. But if you want to do stuff from home that doesn't cost you any money, then doing an enema, like, you can add a little bit of extra, some kind of salt, like a tiny trace amount of EDTA or one drop of turpentine. I don't know if you guys have seen my, I have a video I did a couple of years ago showing a book that I have from the 1850s, and there are recipes in there. There's like so many recipes for enemas. I didn't know you could do so much with enemas. Some stuff I wouldn't do, but like they use turpentine, or I think one of them, I'll have to find it later, is like egg yolk. Egg yolk and gruel and a bunch of other stuff. And I'm like, oh, gross. To me, that just seems like too much to put in there. But it gives you an idea that, coffee enemas are great too.
It was a technique, let's say, that was used extensively in the past. And effectively.
Well, in Europe, don't they, I've heard that in hospitals, it's actually still common practice to do enemas. Or not enemas, but colonics.
In Europe, I don't know. I don't know if they are doing it. I know that they are doing it, let's say, if a patient has a problem, they can do it. But I don't know if it's a common, at least it's not here. I'm not aware. Anyway, I'm not too much hospitalized. My work is in the hospitals. It's my customers.
Yeah.
On this segment, let's say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, give it a try, you guys.
And as well, because you mentioned, it was mentioned in the article about the lymphatic system, it is very important to keep moving our body, because the only way that the lymphatic fluid, let's say, can circulate, there is no pump like the blood that we have, the heart, that helps the body circulate and go and give the oxygen, take out the waste. The lymphatic system, it's depending 100% on the movements of the body.
Right.
So do not forget at least a walk, at least a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the best is to have this trampoline and jumping or small jumps on, you know, on the spot. This is really very powerful and helps the lymphatic system to move.
Mm. Yeah, like one of those little rebounders, right? Like a little...
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh. You can do...
In the worst case scenario, at least walk.
Yeah. Yeah, just walk and, you know, arm circles.
Yes, yes. Walk and moving the hands at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
How many minutes on the rebound? It doesn't matter how many minutes. It's just a few minutes. It's enough.
Yeah.
A few jumps.
Or even like a minute every time you walk past it in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more thing that's good for the lymph is skin brushing. It's you can buy an actual brush that's for the skin. It's got this nice soft bristles, and you brush your skin in little tiny circles, starting at your hand, going in circles up towards your shoulder. So you're going towards the heart.
Yeah. When we are brushing, there are some very nice brushes with coconut fibers, etc. It doesn't matter. But it has to go always towards the heart. So you start, let's say, from the leg and you're brushing upwards. On the belly area, you brush clockwise. And then the arms, the back, the neck, you brush down towards the heart. Always have to go towards the heart, the brushing.
So on the belly, I was still doing it just like towards the heart. So when you say clockwise, do you mean like in little circles clockwise?
Yeah, exactly, because it's let's say the way that the direction of the bowels, so and it will push, you know, when you are doing it clockwise, when you are coming from the right side, it's pushing to the heart. But then you do it the belly, at least a book that I had already talking about detox, and one of the methods was brushing when other methods are not, for example, if you don't have a bath, to do detox baths.
Yeah,
they were recommended to do the brushing, and over there it was saying on the belly it has to be towards clockwise. At the back, you're doing again the same, like you brush towards the heart, below the heart upwards, above the heart downwards.
Okay, clockwise. When you say clockwise, is it clockwise as if you're looking at a clock, or the clock is on you facing out? Because it would be different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, correct. So let's say what I'm doing, let's say from left to right. So I'm going, if I start from my chest, going towards the heart, going down to my lower abdomen, and then I'm coming from the right side to the liver and going, you know, that direction.
Ah, okay. I didn't know that about the abdomen, about brushing the abdomen.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Pretty quiet in the chat room there. Hey, you guys, hope I didn't put you to sleep. Well, that's all I have on my list today.
Talking about remedies, just let's say, because I'm I'm in some groups in Facebook with Morgallons. I was for a long time, but lately I start getting more active on it because I'm sick and tired with all the BS that the people that are mentioning over there. And I always insisting, I mean, I'm mentioning about the nano. And of course, there are those that somehow they get offended. There is one person that, okay, she has been cured with some traditional from Lyme disease. And now she's 12 months clean. And she say, I'm still here. It's not nano. I say, okay, wait and see. Mm-hmm. It can be to have really the biological, the organic biology. But doesn't mean that you don't have the nano. But anyway, the point is not that. The point is that, okay, so many people, they are suffering. Of course, they have this nanotech on their scalp and hair. And it's amazing. It's terrifying how much suffering. And the main solutions that they have, some of the people's suggestions, is just to shave the head, the hair.
Shave? Really?
Some of them, they just save the hair. And to get rid, let's say, of the... Not to get rid, but to manage, to treat the symptoms, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't know something different. And the trigger from that, from there, I want to remind here to the group the remedy from Tony for the hair and the scalp against the nanotech and the nanoassemblies they have over there, which is to make a coffee and then add essential oil, so for rosemary, or make a tea of rosemary and then add the coffee in it and wash the hair with this mixture.
Sorry, you said either essential oil or tea of rosemary?
Yes, correct. So we need the oil of the rosemary, okay? And okay. Either we make a tea, so we buy a lot of rosemary and we boil it. But when we boil it, we have to make sure that it will not be 100%, 100 degrees Celsius, the boiling, maybe 70 to 80 degrees. I don't know how much it is in Fahrenheit, but you can find online the converters. Because if we keep it on 100 degrees, it will break the oil and evaporate. So we keep it, let's say, hot, but not the boiling point, you know, the 100 degrees, which is the boiling for Celsius.
Right.
I don't know how much it is. And then you boil it for a few minutes and you let it over there, you know, to extract the essential oils if we boil the plant. And on this juice, on this tea, we add the coffee. Or we make a coffee and we add essential oils.
Okay, wait.
Tony, I don't mention how much essential oils to put, but me, I'm taking the formula that he's using for the biofilm, which is between 1 to 3 drops of essential oil for the ounce, which is, let's say, 1 ounce with approximately 30 milliliters. If it's 1 liter of this juice, of this mixture, of coffee, for example, then I will add between 50 and 100 drops, which is 2.5 ml to 5 ml. Usually the essential oil bottles, the small ones, they are approximately 3 ml. So you can estimate how much it is. And then depending how long is your hair, you need, I don't know, 2 liters, 3 liters, 4 liters of water. I don't know how much you want. You need to wash the hair. So you wash the hair and massage the scalp with this. You leave it for a while on just wet the hair like that, and then you rinse it. And it's really efficient and effective to remove all this biofilm and the nanotech on the hair and the scalp.
Cool. So can we back up again? Because I don't know this. Remember, did you say coffee? So we have you explained the tea of the rosemary and the coffee. Is it like a cup of coffee that's made or just the grounds?
So no, you make the coffee, the juice of the coffee. So it can be any coffee, it can be filtered coffee, it can be instant coffee, as long as it's coffee only and not, you know, with sugar or with milk powder, milk, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Espresso, but you need a lot of espresso. It can be as ground coffee. You make the coffee. You boil a liter of it or 2 liters of water, and you add, you know, the dosage for this, and then you add the essential oils, or you make the tea from the rosemary,
and mix it with the coffee.
Yes, and you add the coffee. If it's instant coffee, let's say as much as you multiply, you know, 1 cup, multiply it for a liter.
Yeah. And then, sorry, I'm just trying to get all this. What did you say about the 2.5 to 3 milliliters? What was that?
So, yeah, so one drop general, okay, if it's a water, if it's essential oil, doesn't matter, it's 0.05 ml.
Oh, okay. So that was just the equivalent.
Yes, Tony, when you are doing the remedy for the biofilm, you know, in the alcohol or the oil that we drink, is putting his recommend 1 to 3 essential oil, drops of the essential oil. So if I will project this instead of 1 ounce to 1 liter, let's say instead of a 30 ml to 1,000 ml, it is 50 drops up to 100 drops, 101 drops.
Okay.
One drop is 0.05 ml, so it's 2.5 ml up to 5 ml essential oils in a liter of the coffee. It depends how strong somebody wants. And of course, has to pay attention to the ice, always.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tabitha says she puts copper in it, too.
Yes, copper can be as well. That's not the copper. You know, the copper will not. It will help general the scalp and the hair. The oil, the essential oil, is the one that will start removing the nanotech and the coffee. But yes, how is it? Copper, yes, it will help. MSM can be, yes, but you know, on the when you are washing the hair, we can take the MSM. You can put it, of course, you can put it, and then you can take it orally. But even if you don't have all of this, simply by using coffee and the rosemary, according to Tony Remedy, it will be it's efficient. Anything else? Those that you are you mentioned, MSM and copper, of course, they are adding, and it's useful. So per 1 cup of coffee, how many drops of oil? Per 1 of coffee, hold on a second, I will do the calculation. Give me a few moments.
I think he said if it's essential oil, 1 to 3 drops? Or
yeah, for the ounce, okay, which is 30 ml. So 1 cup is 250 ml divided by 30. It's 8. So between 1 to 20, sorry, between... on a second, between eight and 27 drops for the cup.
For 1 cup of coffee.
For okay. 1 cup of coffee, 8 drops to 27. It depends how strong you want. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, it's okay. It's. It's actually it's not bad because okay you have the mix of the coffee and then the rosemary. Personally, I like the rosemary. It's yeah. like a shampoo, you know. It's like a shampoo the smell.
Okay.
It feels very very clean after. Very clean.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, I don't have anything else to add. Do you, Yanni? Or anything that we talked about?
No, I don't have something else besides, let's say, to always to remain, we have to remain on our guard, on our watch. There are so many distractions and so many, problems that are appearing or they're creating on us. And me, I am finding lately managing the time. Suddenly, you know, the time is gone. There are so many.
Yeah.
And they are not, I cannot finish, let's say, things that I am trying to do and finishing that somehow they never, not they never finish, but always delays and distractions and problems that they delay the project. I don't know, somehow it's it's a little bit strange what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say we have to stay aware.
And focused.
Yes, don't fall on the deceptions.
Yeah. I find that I have to focus on remaining steady in my mind, if that makes sense. Like not getting caught up in the distractions, and like even taking a diet of the news. You know, I don't I don't look at so many things like I used to.
Me neither.
You just got to stay focused and steady in what's around you. Of course, you want to know what's going on in the world, but there's only so much you can control, too, right?
Yeah.
So
answering to Salma, okay, I will write to Fiona so she can put the formula that I mentioned in the notes when she's going to publish the recording.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
All right, I think we'll end it there. Yanni, have a good sleep. I know it's getting late there. Or do you stay up all night too? Are you a night owl?
Say again?
Do you stay up all night? Are you a night owl?
Well, usually until approximately 1 o'clock, sometimes 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's not a good practice. It's not a good practice, but there are so many things to do, plus, you know, the orders from the people. Next Saturday, maybe I can join. I'm not 100% sure, because next day on the 28th I'm traveling. I'm leaving, and I will be all February. I will be traveling, so I'm not going to return back to Geneva until 1st of March.
Oh wow!
Yes, it's on a business trip, Middle East and then Asia, for the company where I work. I will meet as well some customers. It will be something interesting as well in one of these countries. I'm not going to say yet because the person has told me not to say to share. But there is an American doctor who has an excellent detox clinic and resort, let's say, I would say, where he's growing everything, I would not say only organic, but really he's putting it, like Tony says, in he's growing all his herbs that he's give to his patients in a greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing a detox program. He had studied the detox program in Germany, and then he worked as well in detox clinics here in Switzerland. He was treating high profile people, bankers, politicians, etc. And then he moved and he has duplicated what they were doing here in Switzerland over there, but of course with a half price. And he's interested in our technology. And plus, yes, I'm going to interview him probably over there. And I will present his detox center for whoever he's interested.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, and you know, you can go even and stay over there. So he has, let's say, like facilities. If someone needs to stay for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 1 month to do the detox, he has available this program. It's an amazing facility. And he is completely aware and awakened against, of course, the vaccines, etc. So it's a good opportunity for people that they want some alternatives on a good way this time, and detox to learn about it. So I will go and I will meet him, and he's gonna make a tour on his facilities, and I'm gonna have an interview together. I will try to make pictures and videos to share, and I will publish it sometimes in February or beginning of March. I'm going for my daily, let's say, job over there, but with opportunities, since I will be there, and we are discussing, always have 2 hours discussion with this doctor. I'm learning. He was in Wuhan when the first case was there in the Congress, and he told me the BS what has happened. I mean, it's unbelievable what information he has. And it's an honor, let's say, it's one of the doctors, the few doctors, you know, that he's really awakened and fight, and he's doing. He's not just talking about, but he's really a doer. He has protection, he has security, he is pro-guns, you know, to where it's needed to be used. And he has spoken as well with Tony. We had together a conversation. So I think it would be cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm sorry, no, I'm not coming to the US recently, late, anytime soon. Maybe within 2024, if they will allow us after May, let's see, to travel. Sometimes I will come to the US, yeah.
Yeah.
This time it will be Middle East, Dubai, actually, for a few days. It's a big medical trade show. And then I will head to several countries, so 5 or 6 countries in Asia.
Nice. Well, enjoy the beach while you're there if you can.
Let's see. I don't think that I will have the time for that.
Oh, but, darn.
I don't know. Maybe because the only weekend that we'll see. Definitely the warm weather, I will enjoy it.
Yeah,
actually it will be both warm and cold, because I'm going, of course, Southeast Asia in some countries, and then I'm going as well to Korea, which is cold.
Oh.
So you know, I have to carry both my winter clothes
and
summer clothes.
Cool.
So yes, I will try to join if I can, but the time difference will be too big. So let's see how it will happen for the calls. This for the podcast in February.
Yeah. Well, yeah, make it whenever you can. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Yanni, for joining. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you,
everyone. See you guys next time. And as Tony says, to your health.
to your health, yes. Always, always. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.